I'm actually going to throw you a curveball, and what we're going to do is we're not going to talk about money this week. We are next week, which means don't all of a sudden have brunch plans. You need to come next week, okay? Because we all have money. The Bible talks about money a lot. It's very practical. And so next week's going to be good. But what I want to do is this week set us up. We're doing a two-week series in Renew. And what I want to do this morning is kind of lay a biblical foundation for why we're doing this whole renewal process. Why does the church matter? Why does it matter to us that we're committed to a local body of believers and that we would be renewed in that? We would be passionate about God having us to be here and why it matters to us to be a part of this group. And I believe that ultimately we will give to causes that we believe in. We've got to believe in the local church. We've got to be passionate about what God is doing. Now, we should give because out of obedience, because God asked us to do that. But we know there's things that we know we're supposed to do and we don't do. And so this week, what I hope is that we'll be convicted, either for the first time or we'll take a step closer to being convicted, that the local church really matters and that we will want to be committed to this body and all that God has for us, and that we will see a spiritual renewal happen here at the Kirk. That's my heart, that is the desire of your church leaders, your elders, is that we would see a spiritual renewal. This renew process is about more than just updating our database and, you know, being able to communicate with you and having your picture. Those things are good and helpful. But in our heart, what we really want is to be a renewed church, a church that is renewed from the inside out. And so that's why we're starting this morning here in Romans chapter 12. Now, it raises the question, why do we need the church? Does the church matter? There are many people today who are giving up on the idea of church for various reasons. Maybe at some point in your life, you've walked away from the church. Or maybe you're even sitting here this morning and you've been thinking about that. Maybe you've been thinking, I don't know, it's just the church is messy and there's all these politics and there's all these dynamics and it's just really hard. And the truth is, it is because we're a family. And every family's its own crazy flavor of crazy, right? You know, we're all just, we got vanilla crazy and chocolate crazy, and then there's like cookies and cream and, you know, all those other Ben and Jerry's flavors with really long names. The body is, I mean, your family is not normal. Nobody's family's normal. But this is what God has called us to be, a unique body. And I think there's an opportunity here within the church to have unique quality of relationships that would be an incredible witness to our world today. I mean, look online, look at the news, look at social media. We can see there's all these issues that keep bubbling up, and it's nothing new under the sun. They're just human issues. We have difficulty relating to people that have a different background from us, that are a different nationality or ethnicity. Men and women have a hard time being in healthy relationships together. There's a generational gap. There's all of these things. We know there's a huge list of reasons why human relationships are challenged and they're broken. And we still struggle within the church, but yet there's a unique thing that happens here in the body of Christ. I believe that the gospel speaks new and fresh air into the conversation about human relationships. The gospel gives us an identity. It gives us a story that we are a part of. It speaks a new set of rules into how we relate to one another. We're never going to do that perfectly, but I believe we need to leverage that right now as the church and to say, you know what? We don't do it perfectly, but what we have here is a very unique thing. And so we're going to look at a very powerful text of the Bible, Romans chapter 12, and I think we're going to see a couple of different ways that the gospel defines community and renews us as the body of Christ. So let's start here in verse 1, where we see that we are unified by the work of Christ. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Stop right there. What forms the unique Christian community? It's the gospel. That's what Paul has been writing about for 11 chapters leading up to this. He's made the point that, look, you guys are all a mess. You're all without hope, except that God, in his mercy, stepped down into the world with a unique solution through Jesus Christ. He made a way. He gave us a new identity, a new community, a new storyline. All that has been broken is redeemed and comes together in Jesus Christ. And therefore, in view of that, in view of God's mercy, we are family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Wayne just talked about this. We've been talking about it throughout the book of Hebrews. This is a dominant theme all throughout the New Testament, this idea that we are family and we're committed to each other, and yet we're a unique kind of body because we are a people who gather from around this city, and we're different backgrounds. We have different jobs. We come from different states even. We have all different kinds of places that we come from, and we come here on Sunday morning and we gather together. And what is it that binds us together, that makes us people who might not otherwise come together and be in community, right? We cheer for different teams. We have different hobbies that we do and different interests. What binds us together is that we are people who are marked by grace, by the mercy of God, by the most important thing, the thing that never changes. You see, most groups that we're a part of, you know, at some point or another, we lose the connection with it, right? Because our interests change, or, you know, it's like, all right, I like to go play golf, but then at some point, you know, I don't have time for it, or I don't have money for it, or whatever. And so, you know, I have this group of guys, we go play golf, but then all of a sudden we don't. It changes. But the church, what binds us together, doesn't change. It never changes. We are a people who are marked by grace. And that's a very profound thing. I know it's like gospel 101. That's a pretty basic idea. You've probably heard that truth a million times. But it is a powerful thing, friends, that we are family in Jesus Christ. And we're a different kind of organization. We're not motivated by whether our stock price is going up. We're not trying to get greed or power or fame or any of those things. That's what we're supposed to be doing. There might be someone that gets in the mix with churches, but we are a people who simply have received the mercy of God, and we want to tell other people about it. That is as simple as it is at the end of the day. And that draws us together, and that will never change. It's very powerful. And then in response to that, we are a people who are committed, therefore, in view of God's mercy, to offer our lives, our bodies here, this word bodies, it doesn't mean physical body. It really means your whole self. We're to offer our whole selves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so what forms the church? What forms the church is that though we are individual people, we're all committed to the same end. And that is, by the grace of God, we're trying to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God. Because of the mercy of Jesus, we're trying to lay our lives down, to be a sacrifice of worship. Not a sacrifice that gets God's grace or earns God's grace. It's because we already have it. And that gives us unity. We're all in the same boat. We're all saved by grace, and we're trying to live by grace. That's an amazing thing. So that brings us together as a people who are a body. We've got many parts, many members, but we are one. We together are in Christ, and though many, we form this one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Again, that's a really interesting thing. Have you ever thought about the fact that you have a vested interest in the spiritual health of other people that are sitting in this room? See, we make it so individualistic. That's just part of our Western heritage. It's just between me and Jesus. But really, it's not. It's not what the Bible says. It's all of us. It's all y'all, right? We're in this together. And so it matters to me that you're growing in your faith. It should matter to you that I'm growing in my faith, because we're all part of the same body, right? And if I'm the right arm and you're the left arm, we need to work together. It's an interesting thing. It's just a big thought, you know? And I know a lot of us are like, I can't even keep my own life together, you know? How am I going to worry about other people? Well, it just works as we do the things that God asks us to do, and we work together, and we worship together, and we study the word together. We're pouring into each other spiritually and building each other up. The second thing we see is that we're transformed and we're renewed by the mind of Christ. We're no longer to conform ourselves to the sinful patterns of worldly thinking, which is driven by competition, fear, guilt, shame, lust, manipulation, greed. Did I leave anybody out? Did we cover them all? Rather, we don't think according to that way, but we're trying to be renewed by the mind of Christ, to understand God, to understand our relationship with people, to see people as Jesus sees them, to see the world through the lens of Christ, and to pattern our thinking after him, to discern and try to practice the mind of Christ as best we can. And we should understand practically how this binds us together. Let's think about how this works within a body like this. If I'm committed to the idea that I'm trying not to get my way, not to have the best idea, I'm not competing with you and your idea of how things should go, but we're all trying to seek to know what Christ would have us do. Right? Again, we can't do that perfectly, But if you're in a group, or if you're in a relationship, think about a marriage, think about a close friendship, think about your relationship with your brothers and sisters, your actual biological ones, or parents. If both of you at least have that same starting point where you're saying, hey, my goal is not my agenda, this is not a power struggle, but I'm going to try to seek Christ and you try to seek Christ, that doesn't mean we're always going to land at the same middle point. But even when we don't, those conversations will be flavored by grace. We're at least all trying to get at the same place and the same destination. And so having the same commitment that our minds are being transformed by the Word and by Christ, it draws us together. It gives us a unity in practice. We're all trying to meet the same end. What would that look like as a church if we really believed that all of us were trying to do that same thing? We're committed to waking up in the morning and saying, Christ, will you renew my mind today? Will you help me not to think the way that I would think in my own humanity? Would you help me to think your thoughts and think the way that you think? And if I really believed you were doing that and you believed that I was doing that, we would relate to one another different. It would be better. It doesn't mean we wouldn't be without conflict, but it would change the dynamic. So how do we get there? Well, it takes us as individuals all doing that and together being committed to that. God, renew my mind. Give me the mind of Christ. Give me the heart of Christ. Help me to practice, not my will, but yours be done. And practically, it takes a lot of humility. Humility. And that's exactly where Paul goes from there. Right? Verse 3, for by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Okay? When you're sober, you're thinking clearly. Like if you're intoxicated, if you're drunk, you're not thinking clearly. And so Paul says, don't be thinking like a drunk person. He says, think clearly about who you are. Don't think too highly of yourself, and it's not stated here exactly, but I think it's implied. Also, don't think too low of yourself, because there's a false kind of humility that's like self-deprecating, and you don't love yourself appropriately. You see, we got to understand that we are sinners, so we shouldn't think too highly of ourselves, but we're also saved by grace. We are children of God. That is our identity. It is shaped by the gospel, and we shouldn't think too lowly of ourselves. I want to give you a little illustration here to help you understand this concept. And we're going to think about and consider the theology of the marshmallow. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So on Friday night, we have a fire pit in our backyard, and some people from our small group were over, and we were making s'mores, and we had these big, giant marshmallows. And I don't know if you know how this works, but these large marshmallows do not make the best s'mores. I have figured this out, unfortunately, by experience, because they're just simply too big. Right? We kept trying, and it just takes forever, and it's like the fire can't get in there and make them perfect, which, by the way, my definition is lightly brown on the outside, you know, super gooey in the middle. I don't know what your definition is, but that's the right way. And so you can't get that with these giant marshmallows, because we're like kind of eating them, and it's like, hey, how's your s'more? Yeah, pretty good, you know, but, and then it's like, and somebody says, yeah, mine's kind of lukewarm. It's not really gooey on the inside. And then somebody else is like, oh, hey, Aaron, you should use that as a sermon illustration one day. Well, here you go, right? So when you think too highly of yourself, you are like a puffed up marshmallow. And the fires of God's grace, they not that they can't, but they don't penetrate and make you so gooey. And so you're just kind of lukewarm, and you're just not the best s'more. On the other hand, if you think too lowly of yourself, and you're like one of these little tiny marshmallows, which are great for snacking. But for s'mores, you can't roast that. It would fall off the stick within 3 seconds. Or even if you could get it the right consistency, it's so small that then you wouldn't have marshmallow in every bite of the s'more, which is the goal, of course. And this tiny little marshmallow is like a person who thinks too lowly of themselves. Because if you don't have an appropriate self-love and identity in Christ, and you think too lowly of yourself, then you can't be fully utilized. You can't be that perfect s'more for the glory of God. Because right after this, what we're about to talk about is the idea that you have gifts and you have abilities, and God has gifted all of us to bless the church. And if you're a big, fat, puffed up marshmallow, you're lukewarm, and if you're a little tiny marshmallow and you don't think that you have the worth that you have in Jesus Christ, either way, you're not that perfect sized marshmallow to make that perfect s'more for the glory of God. And so thinking rightly about yourself, not too high and not too low, but just right, enables you to be a healthy, functioning member as a part of the body of Christ. So there, I went there, you know, and you can think I'm ridiculous or whatever, but be the right size marshmallow for the glory of God. You're never going to think about marshmallows the same. Which leads then to the next thing, which is that we are to be focused on serving Christ. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of you. And this is where we see that though we have an incredible unity in our identity and in our goal, we also have great diversity within the body of Christ. And the church is filled with all kinds of people, and that's a good thing because the church's mission is to reach all kinds of people. And so we need a variety of different gifts. We need a variety of different experiences in order to be a healthy body. It's been a while since I had a Tim Keller quote. I think I have a quote I have to meet. And so here's what Dr. Keller says about this. He says, "We each have been given distinct personalities and temperaments, histories and abilities that equip us for a particular set of good works that God has created us to do." So when I think about it first, the idea of gifts. And we all have different kinds of gifts. We understand that. We know to be a part of a team, you need different gifts and abilities. You know, if you had a basketball team, I would go there because that's my favorite sport, college basketball. If you had a team of all point guards or all centers, that would be interesting. I'd like to see that experiment, actually. But we know we need, you know, some fast people who can get the ball down the court. And we need some big guys that are good at rebounding. We need shooters. We need different skill sets. Think about teams or committees that you've been on. If you had a committee and everybody in the group was like this big picture, pie in the sky, idealistic thinker, no, you need some people that are like, yeah, but how are we going to get this done? You need a combination of skill sets in order for it to work. And the same is true in the body of Christ. And so you need to know what you're gifted at. I don't know if you've ever taken a spiritual gifts test. I think there's some advantages and disadvantages. Ultimately, I think it can be helpful. They have these tools where you answer a set of questions. It kind of gives you an inventory and helps you to see where you're particularly gifted and how that might translate into serving in the church. If you've never done one of those before, there's a lot that are available for free. I actually grabbed one and I put it on the Kirk website. If you go on the Kirk homepage under resources, you can click there and take a spiritual gifts test. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never done that before, try that. And then after you've done that, come talk to one of the pastors. Talk to Carrie Lund, our connections director, and we will help you to connect those gifts and how God has wired you and what you're passionate about with serving opportunities within the body of Christ. But I think beyond that, the question really as it comes to serving the church is, how can God take me and how he's made me and my experiences, and how can he use me to benefit other people, to help build the church up and bless people? And that's where I love this quote, because it talks about temperaments, but then it talks about histories. Your history is part of how God will use you to minister to others in the church. I saw this all the time as a youth pastor. It was so apparent. Students in my youth group whose parents had been through a divorce, for example, that wasn't a positive thing in their life, but God redeemed that in their life by using them to minister to other students who are going through a similar thing or who had been through that. They were able to give them encouragement and hope and to pray for them and minister to them. Right? And so whatever experience you've had in your life, God can take that and he can redeem. That's one of the ways he redeems hard thing and suffering in our life, is by enabling us to be able to speak into the lives of others. I mean, one example that should be very obvious to all of us in our church is Wayne and Lynette, right? Having a son with intellectual and physical challenges in his life, and God has used that and use Jonathan and use the Hardys to minister to people that they would never have been able to reach, right? Wayne was just talking about this last week. And the same is true for you. There's things in your life and in your story that God will use to help you to serve others. I was having lunch with a brother a couple of weeks ago. He's actually sitting in this room, and I won't give him credit because I don't want him to be a puffed up marshmallow. But he made this quote to me. He said, you know, people are impressed by your successes. Something like this. I'm paraphrasing him. See, that's the thing. Whenever you quote people, if they're in the room, people are impressed by your successes, but they connect with you in your weaknesses, in your brokenness. And that's so true, isn't it? We always want to impress people. And yet, what if the things in our life that we saw as the hardest things, as the challenges, as our own weakness sometime, what if those are the things that God actually wanted to leverage, wanted to use to display his glory and his strength and use to help us to help other people? That's how the body of Christ works when we serve one another, when we use the gifts and we use the experiences that God has put us through in our life. So I want to give you a couple quick action steps so we can take this home. The first one is renew your commitment to the body, right? We've been going through this renew process, and I just want to encourage you, before you leave today, if you haven't yet renewed, would you consider that? Would you renew? Would you commit yourself to what God is doing here? Would you be a part of the body? Would you renew that? I think that's a healthy thing. All throughout the Bible, we see, you know, in the Old Testament, that people had to renew their covenant relationship with God. And I think it's good for us to renew our commitment to the local body because it's worth it. It's worth it. The second thing is to renew your relationship with the body. Get to know people. Let's get to know one another. Maybe a real easy thing, right after church, just take the first 3 minutes and find somebody that you don't know, or maybe you don't know that well, and just have a conversation with them. Go grab a cup of coffee for a few minutes in the gathering. Or even better yet, take somebody to lunch. Or beyond that, invite somebody into your home. Or maybe just start with 3 minutes after church. But take a step to, let's get to know one another. And finally, renew your service for the body. If you're not currently serving, you know, we all know it's the 80-20 rule. 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. And the other 80% do 20% of the work. And the way that it works in God's economy, if we all work together, we will be a healthy body. And we will be able to accomplish all that God has for us. God won't call us to something that he won't equip us to do. And a part of his equipping us to do that is for all of us to work together. To do the work, to do the ministry, to build up the body, to reach out to our city. We need everybody. And so will you use your gifts, will you use your experience and how God's wired you? Will you use it to bless others in this church and through the ministries of this church as we go out into our community with the good news of the gospel? Friends, we are unified by the work of Christ. We're marked by grace. Everything that we do is in view of God's mercy and all that God has done for us. We are people who are renewing our mind. We're trying together to think as Christ would think and to do his will. We're a people who are humbled by the grace of God, because it takes a lot of humility to be in relationship with people. And finally, we are a people who are committed to serving the cause of Christ. That is the kind of body that we want to become. And by the grace of God, I believe that we will. And God will be glorified in us, and we will be blessed, and it will be a great joy. Friends, I just want you to know, it is such a joy to be part of your family. As crazy as it may be at times, it is such a wonderful thing. It is a blessing to be a part of such a unique community, a community marked by grace. We love you all. We are excited about where God is taking us. We want to encourage you, renew. Be a part of the body. Renew your commitment to what God is doing here at this place, because the Kirk is a special place. Will you join me as we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost for the gift of your Son. That is what makes us who we are. And God, would you help us by your grace to become the people, the kind of community that you are calling us to be. God, would you help us to transform our minds? God, would you help us to become new people by your grace and to do it together? I'm going to take just a moment and just offer time for you to now just reflect on the words of Scripture and the challenge of Scripture. Just in your own heart, just express back to the Lord what you're thinking about this. And just to express to him, to seek his will. This is the place that he's called you to be, that he will help you and he will give you the strength to be a healthy member of this church and to be committed and to serve this place well for your glory. God, hear us as we pray. And Father, I ask that you will breathe new life, spiritual renewal into this community by the power of your Holy Spirit. You will fill us with your Spirit. You will empower us. God, breathe new life into us. May we not be so puffed up and full of ourselves, God, that we cannot be humbled by your grace and used by you in incredible ways. We ask this for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray.